Joel and I just played Pirates and Cubs Immaculate Grid. Got some, missed some. Charlie Borges shaming us for missing Matt Lawton. I'm mad at that one. That's an MVP 05 pull. We didn't get Bill Madlock, no. We didn't get Orlando Merced, no. Tom Gorzolani, Paul Mahalam, a buddy texted me. You know, another one we missed, Joel, that we probably should have gotten, especially since we've both worked probably on the board when this guy pitched in bad, bad games. Dwayne Underwood Jr.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's right. Was Carl Edwards Jr. ever with the Pirates, too?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. He wore a single digit, didn't he?
Like six?
Yeah. No. Cubs, Nats, Pods, and then the Blue Jays, Mariners, Angels, and Braves. But Dwayne Underwood is one we should have gotten. This is the Fan Evening Show, and with that, we will transition to college football. And who better to talk about the Pitt Panthers? 2 weeks from Saturday, put up your dukes. Stephen Thompson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joins us on the Fan Hotline to talk about the Panthers. Stephen, I'm sure you got to be itching to get back and covering college football, man. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you, too. Thanks for having me on. You know, I was asked the other day about what it's going to be like on September 13th in Morgantown, West Virginia for the Backyard Brawl, and it, you know, made the hair in the back of your neck stand up a little bit, goosebumps rising a little bit. I was imagining being back in a stadium again for the first time, and got a few chills, I have to say.
How much does Rich Rodriguez being back make that 9-13 down there more meaningful? I feel like, personally, I don't think that it would be anywhere close to as meaningful if Neil Brown was still their coach.
Oh, no, 100%. I mean, that's kind of the last thing anyone remembers about Rich Rodriguez at West Virginia, right? Like, you know, he kind of left on a sour note. So, I guess from the Pitt side of things, you can kind of say until he washes away that stain of 13-9, it's going to follow him around all the time. I don't know if he's going to do that in this stint at West Virginia. I'm sure everyone down there is going to try to downplay that as history as much as possible.
Before that game, Pitt plays two, one against Duquesne and then Central Michigan at home before they trek down to Morgantown. But before the season begins, a couple of more weeks of practice. Stephen, what stuck out to you most in the opportunities you've gotten to see the Panthers prepare for the 2025 season?
Yeah, you know, I think the first thing that strikes me is kind of what they have coming back. You know, a lot of teams, I mean, teams all over the country get raided by the portal, and it's not to say that Pitt didn't lose anyone either to the transfer portal, but most of the guys that they lost were guys who were out of eligibility from last season. And so the fact that they were able to retain, you know, Desmond Reed, Kyle Lewis, Eli Holstein, Rasheem Biles, Francis Brew, Jimmy Scott, like, you know, I can keep going on and on down a list of guys that I think are going to be pretty good for them this season. I think you're struck by the continuity. And you know, you asked me going into the season what my expectations were, and I think a lot of it is not based on last year. It's based on what some of these good players who got off to a good start last year can do with another year of maturity and another year of work underneath their belt. I think Pitt's, you know, best teams of the last few years have been really old, and Pitt's getting a little older, so I think it's okay to have the expectations pretty high for this team.
Depth an issue, though, at least in my mind, and you can I obviously agree or disagree, but when it comes to the offense and the defense, there's a lot to be excited about, especially with the linebackers. But I want to start on offense. Eli Holstein's back. That's awesome. Desmond Reed's back. That's awesome. But there are issues in my mind with behind Eli Holstein and behind Desmond Reed, more so at the quarterback spot, unproven with guys like Cole Gonzalez and a true freshman. And then at running back, a bunch of guys got hurt.
Yeah, I think you're spot on about the running backs. They are pretty thin there. At quarterback, sure, unproven, I think, at this level, but Pitt feels really comfortable, and I think for good reason, having Cole Gonzalez back there, a guy who's run the offense before and run it at a really, really high level at Western Carolina. He was a Walter Payton Player of the Year semifinalist two times. If you don't know, that's basically the FCS equivalent of the Heisman, so he's kind of been there and done that and at least run this offense. I think last year when you had Nate Yarnell in there, someone who not only didn't get every first team rep, but was also banged up a few times, limited in terms of his practice what he was able to do. I think the difference between having a guy like Nate in there who had all that kind of deficit and experience versus Cole, who's, you know, run the system for a couple of years, a lot of guys around him who've run it for a couple of years. I feel a little bit better about the quarterback depth going in this year, but running back, I think you're exactly right, is a much bigger concern. It's a different story. You know, Desmond Reed has been, best I can tell, mostly healthy throughout training camp. They've held him back a couple times, most recently from their scrimmage this past weekend. But that was more, I think, to try and get other players active. You know, some of those guys behind Reed in the mix. When you have an All-American season like Desmond Reed did last year, I think you're kind of afforded some, you know, vet days off, I guess I would say. But they need to get some of these, some of this depth up to speed. Guys like Jewell's Goff, who didn't, you know, kind of enter the fold until the middle of the season last year, as a true freshman, had an injury early in training camp that kept him out for a while. But then you've got, you know, a freshman like Jakarian Turner, who I think is going to be a big part of the running back rotation as long as he's healthy. He's been a little bit banged up as well. Running back, it's concerning because you need some of those younger guys, the depth pieces, to be active and learning the offense during training camp. And it's been kind of a revolving door at that spot so far.
That's Stephen Thompson, covers the Pitt Panthers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. The defense, obviously very exciting. We'll get to that in a moment. But again, I want to get some of this stuff offensively out of the way. The offensive line, a lot to be desired last year, and a couple of more question marks, a couple of transfers expected to start, but they do bring back some pieces that are experienced. How has the offensive line, in the eyes of you, Stephen, been throughout camp, and are they better, do you think, than they were a year ago?
Yeah, I believe this going into camp, and I'll still say I believe it now, that this line has a little bit more talent and a little bit more depth than it did a year ago. I think the problem, at least at this moment, is, you know, getting everyone kind of up to speed, and, you know, making sure that guys are in the right spots that they need to be, the spots that they are most likely to play during the season, whether that's, you know, a potential starting spot or somewhere they have to fill in for an injury. And I think, you know, they've had a couple smaller, minor things pop up to some of their depth over the course of training camp so far, which has kind of made figuring out, okay, what are our contingencies if an injury happens, if we have a bunch of injuries like we did a season ago. That makes that a little bit more difficult. So first you need guys to mesh, but then you also need some time after the first group meshes, to figure out where your depth pieces fit in. And I think that's still kind of a work in progress for Pitt at this point. Still a lot of camp left. You know, I think they should be able to get through Duquesne and Central Michigan pretty easily, but then you're going to hit a West Virginia team that's going to give you a real challenge. Then you're in the meat of ACC play, and you got to be ready for some bigger bodies to be flying at you. And yeah, honestly, you have to count on injuries being a part of the equation this year. I mean, they haven't gone through a season since I've been on the beat, you know, I'd say the past few years, where their offensive line has been completely healthy for the entire year. So it's not just about kind of throwing three transfers in there and hoping that they can plug all your holes for you. You need to make sure that some of these guys who were in-house are up to speed and improving and developing. And if they're not starter capable, then they're at least reserve capable and serviceable for you in the case of an emergency.
Yeah, defensively, it doesn't matter if it's Duquesne or Notre Dame. Teams are not going to have fun trying to prepare for this Pitt defense, and particularly Rasheem Biles and Kyle Lewis.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was funny asking Kyle earlier this week when he spoke to the media, like, hey, how do you kind of prepare when you know that offenses have you circled, when they're trying to run away from you, when they're not going to throw at you? How do you continue to make plays when teams are kind of zoned in on you like that? And this, of course, applies to Rasheem Biles as well. But he said that, you know, I'm a linebacker. I'm not a corner. It's not like they can just kind of isolate me on one side of the field. You kind of have to run at me if you want to be successful on offense. So there are going to be tons of opportunities for Biles and Lewis to make plays. I think this defensive line is really good too, and I think is going to help them make some more plays in that sense. It's not like they will have to be cleaning everything up. I think that they will be able to kind of make some more plays in the backfield. And given how athletic this entire linebacking core is, I feel like there is going to be a, you know, increased desire to blitz. It's not like Pitt you know, hasn't brought pressure in the past, but the freedom that having guys like Lewis, guys like Biles on the back end, and guys like Braylon Lovelace as well, guys that are so athletic that you can afford to send an extra guy from the secondary in to blitz. You can send one of those outside linebackers into blitz without feeling like you're sacrificing anything in coverage because of how athletic you are. So big season's ahead of them. The expectations are even higher than they were last year, obviously. But I think, you know, this entire linebacking group, especially Biles and Lewis, are ready to step up on the plate and ready for even bigger seasons than last year.
Yeah, Stephen, and we're talking to Stephen Thompson, covers the Pitt Panthers for the Post-Gazette. I read some of your chat from earlier in the week, and one of the people asked you, coming out of my mouth. I apologize. Holy cow. One of the people in there asked you about them getting votes in the AP top 25, and the way they shook out, it seemed like that they were somewhere in the 40s with the amount of votes that they got. Did that seem just, or do you think that they should have maybe potentially received more votes in the initial AP top 25 poll for the season?
It was honestly a lot more than I expected them to, a lot more respect than I expected them to get nationally. You know, I knew internally, or I guess I should say locally, the feeling around Pitt football was really all about those six losses that they took to end the year. And that's kind of all anyone can really think about when they bring up this team. Personally, I saw a little bit more talent and I think a lot more reasons for optimism. But I did not think that that would kind of come through nationally. So it ended up being really only one person. I think when I was looking at the ballots today, only one voter ranked them 22nd, and that got them those three votes and, you know, kind of into the picture a little bit. But it was something that I didn't expect to kind of have. I didn't really expect them to get any attention, quite honestly. I thought the way that they ended the season was so miserable that people would have written them off and said, we'll check in with you later. But it's not nothing, but also the AP poll isn't the rankings that matter, right? The real rankings that you got to care about will come out sometime in November. I'm not sure exactly when, and that's the college football playoff rankings. That's really all you care about. If you're a college football team, if you're Pitt, if you're anyone, all due respect to the fine people at the Associated Press voting in that poll, but it really doesn't matter all that much.
And you talked about the collapse of last season, and anybody that followed the team, loves the team, has been a fan of the team for a long time, knows that that was about as miserable can get, losing the final six games and your bowl game to a MAC school. If there's one thing about, and I'm not going to, you know, ask you if you think it's going to happen again or how to avoid it, but if there's one thing that you think fans should have confidence in about this team that, you know what, I don't think it's going to happen again, what is that one thing about this 2025 Panthers team that you think would prevent something catastrophic like that happening again?
Well, you know, I won't say that they're, yeah, I can't say that they're not going to lose six straight games to end the season. But I think that they are better equipped to deal with the kind of injuries that they suffered last year. And I don't think anyone wants to kind of hear that. And I'm not trying to make excuses for last year's team, but you know, you go through six different offensive line starting combinations, throughout all of last year. You know, Eli Holstein doesn't finish a game healthy for the last, you know, 4 weeks of the regular season, I believe, and then misses the bowl game. You know, in that bowl game, you had 25 guys out either to, you know, prepare for the draft or through injury or the transfer portal. You know, I think that they have some more depth at offensive line in particular. I think the injury to Branson Taylor at left tackle was what really kind of started to make that season unravel last year. And even if a guy like Jeff Percy or Kendall Stanley goes down, the two guys who pretty battling at left tackle right now. If one of those guys goes down, I think they have a starter capable backup ready, at least at that spot. I think elsewhere they have a little bit more depth on the offensive line as guys develop a little bit and get older. So I would say the offensive line, which is something I've been trying to talk about a lot all offseason, I think the improvements that they made there were exactly what they need. Still some work to do, like I said, to get everyone in the right spots and get everyone up to speed, but at least on paper, I like the personnel that they have, and I think they're better equipped to handle, you know, a disaster like losing their left tackle like they did a year ago.
Stephen Thompson, Pitt beat writer for the Post-Gazette. Stephen, who the hell is that kid that keeps dancing in the meeting room that I see all over social media?
I believe, and don't quote me on this, but I believe, well, I guess I'm on the radio right now, aren't I? But I believe that is a freshman offensive lineman. I could not tell you who, but I am pretty sure that is a walk-on offensive lineman on the team. I'll do some more digging, and next time we talk, I can try to get you a name and a number and see if there's any NIL merchandise that kid is selling, because he deserves it, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I came across another one today. I believe it was Malachi Thomas on TikTok had another video of him looking pretty darn good out there. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll keep an eye on the Panthers in a couple of weeks. Pitt and Duquesne, 2 weeks from Saturday. All right, Steven, appreciate you catching up, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jack.
You got it, brother. There he goes. Steven Thompson, Pitt beat writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I just had a horrible brain fart. I was asking him about one of the people that participated in his chat. And as I was asking that question, Joel, it was, I questioned myself if I worded that grammatically correct, because it's one of the people and one person, and I mixed them up and just malfunctioned, which for somebody that gets employed to talk into a microphone, that's probably not good, but here
so
we are.
You said,
that's right. One of the people,
one
is,
of the people. Yeah.
And I thought that's that correct. Was, I thought I said that, and then I thought, is that right? And then I went to correct it with the incorrect thing and just,
yeah. How did you phrase it again?
I said
you're still doing it.
Yeah. Well, no, I was imitating myself.
Oh.
I questioned if one of the people was the right way to word that, and it is. But as I was asking him that question, he's probably like, what the hell's wrong with him? Oh, well. We'll be better the next time out, I promise. 412-928-9370. A lot of good stuff there from Steven on the fan hotline. It's presented by Sullivan Super Service. Pittsburgh's provided plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We've got about another hour and change on the Fan Evening Show tonight. No grammatical errors in the next segment. At least we'll try our hardest not to. I have some thoughts about Pitt and Penn State heading into the 2025 college football season. For as much as I love the NFL, and I love the NFL for a lot of different reasons, college football is so freaking cool. And I get excited about college football year in and year out. I will be, Joel, how about this? Unfortunately, I won't be at Pitt-Duquesne. I'll be covering Ohio State, Texas.
Goodness gracious.
And I am so fired up for that. I've been in the shoe for Ohio State, Penn State. I was in Beaver Stadium for Ohio State, Penn State. I have not been there for Ohio State, Michigan yet. Might make a trip to Ann Arbor this fall. TBD. But this one's going to be pretty freaking awesome.
I mean, this is the first time ever that one versus two are playing in the season opener.
Yeah. Defending national champs. One versus two in the coaches poll. I don't mean to correct you there, but Ohio State is ranked third in the AP poll. You should know that. Your Nittany Lions are number two, Jolie.
And Texas is number one in the AP poll?
Yeah. So let's see. One, two, three, six teams got votes for number one in the country. Oregon and Georgia each got a vote for number one. Clemson got four votes. Ohio State 11, Penn State 23, and Texas 25. So the top five is Texas, Penn State, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Notre Dame 6, and then Oregon 7. Alabama, LSU, Miami round out the top 10. Pitt got three votes, and they're ranked like 43rd, I believe, if you adjust it from that point. But I have some thoughts on the Panthers heading into 2025. I have some thoughts on the Nittany Lions heading into the 2025 and how both head coaches have a lot to prove, but for way different reasons. And Joe, I want your thoughts on Penn State, because I know you're a Penn State guy. We'll get to that in the next segment. And the phone lines are still open for Cam Hayward, the Steelers, anything you want to talk about at 412-928-9370. It's the Fan Evening Show. I'm Jack Hillgrove. Fan Twitter. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We found him, Joel. It is walk-on freshman offensive lineman from Gibsonia, Pine Richland High School, Josh Nindle. And there's a couple of different videos out there. The first one was on the first day of the camp. Blew up. Jake Overman, who is going to be the starting tight end, his girlfriend, I think, had the first TikTok that got massive. Had like 800,000 views of him dancing. ESPN then picked it up. And naturally, everybody that was getting fired up for the freshman from Pine Richland put it out there on social media. So Josh Nindle is the walk-on offensive lineman that has gone incredibly viral for dancing in the meeting rooms. And Pat Narduzzi's face in the background is just hilarious.
Dove Kleiman would tweet that he's got max aura.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely the who is the manager from McNeese? It's going to be at NC State now.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
That guy, yeah.
That's actually cool. He got some sort of promotion, I guess.
What was his name? Something, Mr. Aura or something, didn't they call him? Amir Khan. Amir Aura Khan is what they called him. And because Will Wade is now the head coach at NC State.
That's right.
I believe that kid transferred to NC State as well. And I don't think the Pitt basketball schedule for the ACC is out yet. And I don't know if they're coming, NC State's coming to Pittsburgh or what, but I'm going to look out for Aura Khan in the Pete this year, potentially. Anyway, so we just got done talking to Stephen Thompson of the Post-Gazette. He covers Pitt football and basketball for the PG, but obviously football season is right around the corner. And if you missed that, go back and listen. I've got some thoughts on both Pitt and Penn State. I'll start with the Panthers first. What happened last year cannot happen again. You know, if you split weeks 1 through 7 and then the rest of the regular season, it was like watching two different teams. And the stats tell you that. You know, weeks 1 through 7, I was worried that from a Pitt fan standpoint, I was worried that Cade Bell would be a one and done and he'd take Eli Holstein with him and say, oh, shoot, better do what you can this year. That was back when they were scoring 73 points against Youngstown State, scoring 34 at North Carolina, coming from behind to beat Cincinnati, winning gritty ball games. I thought, yep, Cade Bell's going to go be a coordinator at a blue blood or a head coach at another Power Four and take Eli Holstein with him. And then from SMU on, I said, this guy coming from Western Carolina, even the right call. I mean, the offense, especially towards the end of the regular season, at times against Clemson, and I know that was a tough game, and Cade Klubnik had a 50-plus yard run that was the difference, but at times in that game, and against Virginia, and definitely against Louisville at the end of the year, the offense looked incompetent. Like, move over Frank Cignetti, Cade Bell right there with you. It might be a little bit hyperbolic, but still, the point stands. August 31st to October 24th. Even more so, but maybe before that, because Cal at home was they only scored 17 and won a close game, and they would have lost if that kid didn't miss a field goal. And a lot of those points that they scored against Syracuse were because Kyle McCord had the worst game a college quarterback has ever had, throwing pick sixes left and right. But for the most part, in those 7 games, 2 completely different teams. They really, and obviously, you know, I'm sure that was priority number 1 in the offseason. What the hell went wrong? Let's fix it. I really hope that they did. And I asked Steven right off the bat about the depth of this Panther offense, and I have questions. Eli Holstein struggled to stay healthy last year. Behind him was Nate Yarnell, capable, a guy that we are familiar with. I understand that Cole Gonzalez was really good at Western Carolina and is familiar with Cade Bell's offense. but he's an FCS quarterback. You know, FCS to Power 4, big time jump. And if that kid has to play an extended amount of time, I worry. And if he stinks, true freshman is the next option there, or the walk-on David Lynch, who we saw in the bowl game. Julian Duggar transferred to Washington State. The Penn Hills product is in Pullman now. Eli Holstein could be really good. Eli Holstein could, I think, elevate himself into first-round quarterback territory 2027. I think he has that potential. But he struggled to stay on the field at times last year. So did Desmond Reed. And they're even thinner at running back behind Desmond Reed. Derek Davis, the gateway product, he's out for the year. Couple of true freshmen that, again, question marks, but also have been dealing with an injury bug to the point where they went back to the transfer portal and brought in another Western Carolina product to help in and try to fill out depth at running back as much as they can. So there are question marks big time behind Desmond Reed. Jalen Williams is the 6-year senior from Western Carolina. And for the amount of question marks that they have, I'm skeptical. So my one plea to Pat Narduzzi ahead of the season, because of the amount of questions I have behind the key guys on offense and Holstein and Reed, please, for the love of God, don't have Desmond Reed return punts. I understand that he is dynamic, returned a punt for a touchdown against Kent State, and he is a big-time playmaker, one of the best playmakers in the country. Potentially have 2,000 all-purpose yards this year. But that game at the end of the year, second-to-last game against Louisville. If you remember that game, Eli Holstein took them right down the field on the first drive. Right down the field. The drive ended with an interception at the Louisville 7-yard line. They only had one third down on the entire drive. And you're like, okay, offense is back. Eli throws a pick. Eli gets knocked out of the game. Game unravels. Pitt finds themselves down 34-0 in that game. And Desmond Reed was still returning punts. Why? Getting blown out on the road, why is your best playmaker still back there returning punts? He got hurt on a punt return. And then did not play the following week at Boston College when they only had 26 carries for 23 yards. Eli Holstein didn't play either. So let's prevent that and not have Desmond Reed return punts. That's my plea to Pat Narduzzi. To Jolie's Nittany Lions, and Joel, this is where I want you to chime in. I'll have you chime in after I make this statement, and you can either agree or disagree. If Penn State does not win a national championship this season, they will not under James Franklin.
Yes, I do believe so. This is the chance and the opportunity.
They almost have no excuse in my mind.
That's right. I mean,
and it even goes beyond the personnel on the field.
James Franklin has been with the Nittany Lions for, I think, more than a decade now.
Yep.
And they always seem to be the top 25.
Is this his 10th year? Because he started the year after Narduzzi did, and Narduzzi was 15. I think this is his 10th year.
Franklin's first season was, I think 15 was his first season, I want to say.
Regardless, I see where you're coming from. And even beyond that, he has surrounded himself with arguably the two best coordinators in the country. Oh, no, he was the year before Narduzzi. I knew
14,
they were,
he started.
Yeah, I knew they were a year apart. I thought he might have been 16 the year after, but no, 2014. So this is 12th year Penn State. But he has surrounded himself with two incredible coordinators. Andy Kotelnicki should be a head coach right now.
And he could have been the West Virginia guy.
Yeah.
There were big rumors in that of that happening.
I have it on a pretty good idea that Rich Rodriguez was almost a consolation prize and that Andy Kotelnicki was their first choice. And he turned it down because he looked at what Penn State has to offer. You bring back your quarterback. You bring back the other surrounding pieces, Allen, Singleton. Mike Tomlin loves Nick Singleton too, by the way. That's another subject, but he does. Offensively, they're in a great, great spot. Defensively, they have Jim Knowles now. And Jim Knowles is the best defensive coordinator in the country, hands down. So you've got, and I understand that they lost Abdul Carter and they lost some other pieces, but you've got your starting quarterback that took you to the college football playoff semifinals back, the coordinator that seemingly made him a better player last year back, two of the best running backs and the best running back duo in the country back, a better wide receiving core, and a pretty damn good offensive line. All back. The only absence, really, that offense has is Tyler Warren. That's a big one. It's a huge X factor. But they bring back stuff at more important positions, coordinator and quarterback. Defensively, they're still pretty damn good, and they've got the best defensive coordinator in football in Jim Knowles. It's all pointing to Penn State winning the whole thing this year. I hate to say that as a Pitt guy, but I think it is. And we are really going to find out if James Franklin has the wherewithal and ability to win the big game. And if they don't do it this year, Joel, I don't think they ever will under James Franklin.
Penn State made the college football playoff last year, came nearly close to beating Notre Dame, and Penn State got better this offseason. They got better this offseason. Jim Knowles and bringing those three guys back, Aller, Singleton, Allen. I mean,
those Ohio State
better team. This is a better situation right now than what they were to start last season.
Those Ohio State defenses, and I saw it up close for the last 3 years, getting to go to Columbus and cover the Buckeyes for Channel 9 in Steubenville. Those Ohio State defenses were ferocious. A lot of talent, sure. But something about the way they attacked the football screamed coaching. And the players in Ryan Day raved about Jim Knowles. And Penn State will reap the benefits of Jim Knowles this fall. And I think it's a genius move. How do you combat the loss of arguably one of the best defensive players in the country, and Abdul Carter? You go out and get the best defensive coordinator.
And Jim Knowles, obviously, so much familiarity with Ryan Day and Ryan Day's offense. That might be the key X factor if Penn State's going to pick up their what would be their first win in Columbus since 2011, potentially.
Yeah, they need to win that game.
Absolutely.
There are question marks for Ohio State. Like, if you want to talk about a polar opposite, from an offensive standpoint, it's Penn State and Ohio State. Returning starting quarterback, returning offensive coordinator. Ohio State lost its starting quarterback and its offensive coordinator, both to the NFL.
And their defensive coordinator to Penn State.
Yep. Brian Hartline wasn't very good the last time he was the offensive coordinator. So he does not have that going for him. And Julian Sain has not played a down of football. I worry about Ohio State in game one. If Arch Manning is anything, is any shred of what the national media and people that talk on this station, that talk about the Steelers potentially drafting that kid, if he's any shred of that, Texas should go into Columbus and beat them on August 30th. It's going to be fun. I can't wait to go to that game.
That might be...
It just sucks that it's at noon.
That's crazy. So Ohio State and Texas, and Ohio State and Penn State, both at noon. How about that? When it's criminal that neither are at night. Well, not even one.
And the way that I understand that, and I try to read up on things because we'll get sent stuff because at WTOV, we're Fox and NBC. So we get all pretty much all the Big Ten games.
Sure.
The Big Ten's got the TV deals with Fox, NBC, and now they have the 3:30 on CBS. The way that I understand that is when they go pick their games like 2 weeks out or whatever it is, the networks, they draft them essentially. Fox gets the priority for Big Noon, so Fox gets the first pick, and then it goes to NBC, and then CBS gets the third choice. So like we were talking about that, my boss and our sports director were talking about, you know, games, Ohio State games that we might potentially get on our airwaves this fall. A couple of them obviously already announced, or the big one is Big Noon, the first game of the year. But if you go look at that Big Ten slate against the week that Penn State and Ohio State play, what week is that off the top of your head, Jolie? And is it the first weekend in November? It's tough to like look at these.
Penn State and Ohio State, November 1st.
Yeah, okay. So if you look at the Big Ten slate for Saturday, November 1st, I mean, it is not even close. Penn State, Ohio State, why? Knowing that Fox gets first pick, they're not going to pick Rutgers, Illinois. They're not going to pick Purdue, Michigan. And they're not going to pick Indiana, Maryland over Penn State, Ohio State. No chance. No chance. That's what you got. Why is there already a line for that game?
I mean, if everybody stays healthy as is right now, that's probably what it would be. And I haven't seen the line, but I'm going to guess that Ohio State is probably a 3-point favorite.
Four.
Okay, that makes sense.
I don't even know how you do that right away, but I mean, obviously it'll change.
I mean, there are probably ones for all 272 NFL games. If all of these were week one matchups, I know that sounds crazy, but that's a thing.
Yeah.
You can only do it with, like, you know, this is only unique to football probably because of there being less than 20 games for both college and NFL, and certainly many more for basketball, hockey, baseball, and that.
Did you just drop in an at?
Yeah.
Did you do that on purpose?
Yeah.
Oh, you should have said no. It sounded authentic. Look at you, Joey.
Good. It worked. Trying to get up my Pittsburghese a little bit.
There you go. This is the Fan Evening Show, which you can listen to on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Temps in the 90s tomorrow. We're with you until 10:35 if you're up and still listening to us. Thank you. And the phone lines are wide open for you at 412-928-9370. I'm Jack Kilgrove. It's the Fan Evening Show.